an idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.
Hello and good evening and welcome to the Dark City Compassion Club show. I'm the host today. Martin's probably going to turn up later, but if not, it's me being the main host. I'm joined with Sean and the other Dark City crews. We've got, who else is here? Robo and Paul. But for our guest today, we've got Dean Oliver, which it's great to have Dean on here. He's actually been on the raid on Dark City Radio before. He came on a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, onto Narisa's show, which is the permaculture show, on a Friday evening. And that's another great show, always full of great information. And he was talking about tinctures and food and all sorts on that one, I think, with Narisa. Well, I want to start the evening first just to give you a little bit of an update on how things have been going for us at Dark City. We've just had a big event that we was asked to speak to. Well, I organised it, but we asked Dark City to come to be represented by Paul Hayden. But the actual event was organised by UPA Yorkshire. And they also had a UPA event in Brighton as well, and I'll talk a little bit about that before we introduce Dean. Just get the latest updates done first. And so, yeah, it was a great evening had by all. There was a nice big turnout as well. We had quite a few people there. Who didn't really know much about cannabis or didn't really know much about cannabis as a medicine. So there was lots of people that got really well educated about it and went away feeling a lot more confident, like they know a lot more. And there was a lot of really good patients that came up and spoke about their experiences. We covered mental health. That was a brilliant talk about mental health, PTSD, and the effects of cannabis on PTSD and how it can really help that condition and keep people calm and stop all the mental chatter that goes on, you know. And cannabis has such a bad rep, really, when it comes to mental health. That's one of the things that gets thrown at you all the time as a cannabis campaigner, as was in the news today, if anyone saw that on BBC Two. That was, I think it was BBC Two, that was... That was about schizophrenia. But like I say in my talk, when I talk with the UPA, you know, in towns where the cannabis usage has gone up, the rates of schizophrenia has not increased in those towns. And this has been studied and worked out by professional sort of scientists. It's not something that's just been guessed, and there's been no correlation. And if cannabis is what causes schizophrenia, well, then if more people are smoking it, more people would be getting it. Obviously, that's how, otherwise it wouldn't be causing it. So it's not, you know, that's another myth debunked. So it was a great evening. Paul did an amazing talk again. And there's going to be lots of developments for Dark City Compassion Club from that event. We're going to be involved in a few more events, probably going out across the country soon. And so are the Normal Women's Alliance, who did a brilliant job. We had Leslie come up from there, from the Normal Women's Alliance. I also work for the Normal Women's Alliance. I get all my hats a little bit mixed up, really. Not mixed up, but, you know, I do so many different things now. It's quite funny to just, I want to make sure that all the organisations get represented fairly and rightly. So yeah, Normal Women, I do a lot of work with them. They're an amazing bunch of women as well. And Leslie came and she did really well. Really great talk for Leslie did, introducing to a lot of people what the Normal Women's Alliance are all about. And they are about educating as well and changing the law and getting the message out. And, you know, to women, not just women, but to women, really, because women are very underrepresented in the cannabis community. And they really are, you know, in a lot of the organisations. So for us all to stand together and have our own, it's great. And we're making such headways and doing really, really well, really. So all of it was great. It was a brilliant event. We had an amazing time, and you know, lots of UPA patients got up, and it was amazing. And the admin meeting that we've had since then was brilliant as well. We had a really good turnout for that. Lots of people with lots of ideas, and lots of people really wanting to get active now, and that's great. You know, so if you are in Yorkshire and you do want to get active with the UPA, there's a UPA Yorkshire club and group now on Facebook, and that's where we sort of keep everything active, but also keep an eye on the page, the United Patients Alliance page, and on there you'll see like all the events that are coming up. So any admin meetings will be up there, any events. And like I said, they also had a great event down in Brighton on the 18th of July, and that one was a really big success as well. And it looks like there was loads of really good speakers. I did try and make it down there for it because I really wanted to get down there for it, but we was all just a bit too tired really after Hebden Bridge one. But they had lots of really good speakers. Winston Matthews came, he spoke as well, which is a really nice surprise. Clark French was there, the founder. Alex was there as well. And so there was loads of really good patient stories. And Michelle X was there, who we had on Dark City, and Albert Ben, who we had on Dark City a few weeks ago as well. They was both on there, and yeah, they had an amazing time. They actually got together before at that the one a year ago. So it's really nice double anniversary for them as well. So it was it looks like they had an amazing time down there. So lots of really good things have been happening. And then if you do want to get involved, do get involved. You know, just meet one of your local clubs. There's a lot of cannabis clubs out there as well that have been really active. Leeds Cannabis Club have got a piece and pot in the park coming up on September the 5th, and they've invited quite a few of us down there. So we're going to go down there and, you know, do some education, awareness raising, and just get to meet each other and networking. You know, this cannabis world network is getting stronger and stronger all the time, and people are actually physically going out there and meeting each other and joining up. It's not just on Facebook. It's absolutely amazing, and it's beautiful, and it's really good community to be part of. So many knowledgeable people out there. So it's amazing. But anyway, I want to get on to our guest. Hello, Dean. Are you right there?
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I've been friends with you now for a little while on Facebook. I don't know loads and loads about your work, but I've seen that you do a lot of really good work, and you're out there. And, you know, and I've got a lot of respect for people that put themselves out there. But do you want to sort of explain to the listeners just a little bit who you are, just a little bit, you know, and I'll ask you questions throughout the evening, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep it brief, but I was a builder. I had a small building company and a few people working for me. Lost quite a few family members to cancer, and then I lost someone pretty close. And I thought, you know, this isn't it. We can't take the word of these doctors. There's got to be other ways around this. Went into research, and then stumbled across cannabis, and it just all opened up: personal accounts, scientific accounts, studies. And I thought, right, I've got to put this into practice. I've got to see if this is true, because we're programmed to believe that these cancers are incurable. I started to act upon my knowledge, and then that took me on a crazy journey over the last 2-3 years. And then just started getting great results, and then started venturing into nutrition and diet and other ways. You know, there's multiple cures for cancer, as we're all now aware. It's been a bit of a mad one the last 3 years, just kind of fully consumed in what I'm doing and spreading awareness and helping people to become self-sufficient. By way of, you know, medicinal herbs you can grow in the garden, by way of cannabis, and mineralizing and adding salts and things to the waters trying to clean up the bodies, really. Clean up everybody's bodies through detoxification and just spreading awareness.
You do spread awareness. You do seem to do a lot of work. You seem to me to be quite an active person. you know, it's good that you look at things more holistically. That's how the approach that we use at Dark City Compassion Club as well. We look at as a person, look at all the different ways in which you can adjust diet, you can add extra nutrients, minerals and everything to your system, because at the end of the day, cannabis isn't going to give you more magnesium or less magnesium or going to give you more iron or less iron. It'll bring your body back into balance so that it's better able to absorb these things, and then once it's absorbed these things, better able to maintain a better balance, you know, with all these ratios within the body. But it just, it really does help to put them in. So how did you start learning all about this then, adding the nutrients as well as looking at diet?
You're absolutely right. I mean, once someone you know, contracts cancer takes over the body, it is a wake-up call. It's basically your body's telling you to make change. And, you know, I'm not a dietitian, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a biochemist, I'm none of this. I was a builder, you know, but I've just been kind of thrown into this and just had to learn on the spot and through process of elimination, really, just seeing people, how they are starting to heal and how we can progress that healing through natural things, you know. And I mean, cannabis is a sacred medicine. She's my medicine of choice, you know, and she really packs a punch in rebalancing the body. But, you know, I'm trying to sway people away from the fact that there is a huge thing at the moment. Everyone's crying out for cannabis oil, you know, and the problem is it does work. It rebalances the body. It tops up that endocannabinoid system. But people aren't addressing the reason why they got cancer in the first place, and they're looking to take it like a pharmaceutical drug. You know, and I've seen it. I've seen people who've continued to eat refined sugar, chip shop and smoke cigarettes and cured their cancer through cannabis oil alone. But then the cancer comes back because, again, they've not addressed the problem. They've not rebalanced the body in a correct way. They've not built up the immune system. They've not detoxified. They've not removed the toxins from the body. So, yeah, that's kind of the way I'm trying to push it. You know, cannabis oil, you know, it's a sacred medicine. It, as I said, it is my medicine of choice, holistically, you know. But I try to use it as a placebo. I keep people on very, very small amounts. And then everything I suggest to them, everything will work in conjunction with the cannabis oil to rebalance the body, to adjust the pH levels, you know, and remineralize, and just get everything working as it should. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a fast track of learning, you know. I don't claim to be an expert in any of these subjects, but, it has been a hands-on kind of, right, I've got to look into this for this person, I've got to look into the lungs for that person, you know. So it's been a great healing, learning experience for myself as well, you know, because I kind of, everything I suggest to people, I practice myself, you know, and I know it can be quite difficult checking your pH balances throughout, you know, throughout the day and making sure that you take this supplement or that mineral or, you know, it is a complete lifestyle change. But people do reap the benefits, you know, when they start to rebalance the body and pH balanced and all the rest of it, you can see that they start to get a spring in their step and they just look well. The vibration raises, you know, the frequency's raising. So, yeah, it's a great thing that's going on at the moment. It really is. I think everyone's kind of got the same vision at the minute, you know, and just try to help as many people as we can get this information out there. Because to me, it is the key to consciousness. You know, when I've had people, all spectrums of life, all professions, approach me for suggestions and help. And, you know, I've helped people who wear suits every day and they're very, very left brain. You know, they're not open to the right side of the brain. And they start to take this medicine. And to me, it kind of balances up the cortexes of the brain and they start to venture over to the right and start to question why the doctors have not offered them this alternative natural medicine that is not toxic to the body and works. Then they start to question the government and then it just kind of, it goes from there, you know, it kind of gets them questioning and thinking for themselves and becoming a little bit more spiritual. You know, so I feel that the cannabis is the way in. We can really do this with the help of the cannabis.
What do you think then? Thank you. What do you think then are the causes of cancer?
It's a multitude of things. I mean, you know, stress can be a huge part. You know, people miss their mortgage payments 1 month and they get a bit of bad news. And not only that, their bodies are quite toxic anyway, unbeknownst to themselves. You know, we are under chemical attack by way of the air, the water, and the food. But yeah, stress lowers the immune system. Then there's candida, parasites. You know, this is why it's paramount now that we clean up the bodies. We know how to cure most of these diseases now, if not all of them. Now we need to prevent it, you know, and just start to clean up the bodies, because this is going to raise the vibration of the people. It's going to raise the vibration and the frequency naturally through doing these detoxes and putting live, higher vibrational foods into the body, opposed to synthetic dead flesh, you know. It's just, you know, it's just cleaning up the body.
Yeah, well, I think that's really important. Cannabis oil does help to detox, but there's lots of other things that you can do alongside of that, definitely. And lots of things you can do if you've got heavy metal poisonings and things like that, or if you are going for chemo as well. I totally agree with that, you know, that there is lots of, you know, about the detoxing and that, you know, it's important to support the body. You know, the more you can support the body while it's going through its healing process, the less work the cannabis oil has to do as well when tackling the cancer, I find.
Absolutely. But I mean, the key here is finding out why we're developing the cancer, you know. And this can be an emotional trauma, it can be, you know, the immune system's low. But, you know, as we know, the cancers can lay dormant for 7 years. But yeah, it's addressing the problem. And, you know, again, it can be emotional, it can be trauma, you know. And not only that, we are heavily toxic. Most of the population are heavily toxic. We're eating absolute rubbish. And again, this is education on how to clean the body and what foods we should be eating. You know, I speak to some children and they don't even know where the bloody vegetables come from. All they know is they go to a supermarket to buy them. You know, it is a zombie apocalypse out there, and it can be quite frustrating. You know, you feel like you're banging your head up a wall most days. But, you know, we have to keep pushing and keep planting those seeds in the people's minds. Because what I find is, you know, you think it's not going in, the information's not going in, but when they're faced with a situation whereby it's cancer, then it's laid dormant and it re-sparks back, and then they start to go into the research and start looking for these medicines, and, you know. So, yeah, we're winning. We are winning.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely winning, without a doubt. You know, more and more people are learning every day. And it's also, like you say, you know, there's people from every single walk of life that are turning and looking at cannabis for the answer for cancer. I would never say cannabis is a cure for cancer, because I think that sort of statement's a little bit misleading, because it is a treatment, you know. And it's like you've got to address, you don't have to, but, you know, it's better if you do address these issues that Dean's been going on about, you know, detoxing, purifying, cleansing. But it's also important to I've forgotten what I'm saying, I'm afraid, but it's also important to you know, to keep up your maintenance dose as well, you know, and to keep maintaining this, because it, you know, and that's why it's a treatment. A lot of people find if they don't keep taking their maintenance dose that their cancer can come back. The maintenance dose can be anything from like a gram a month, you know. So, you know, it's really vitally important that people do realize that it is a treatment. It's an ongoing treatment. And so is eating the healthy and nutritional food and the fruit juices and, you know, keeping yourself healthy. A fruit juice, drinking a glass of fruit juice is like drinking a glass of medicine, because it's so full of nutrients. You know, you don't want to be drinking too much sometimes, and sometimes, you know, you only want to be drinking certain ones. It's finding what's right for you as an individual, really.
Absolutely. But I mean, one thing I mean you're absolutely right with the maintenance course, absolutely right. There was a lady I was helping, and she beat the lymphoma, she beat the cancer, but she was a worrier. And she was constantly worrying, you know. Once she reduced down to the maintenance course, then we stopped the medicine, and she was worrying constantly, you know, what if it comes back? And obviously with the business they call the NHS, they're constantly putting pressure onto people and telling them the cancers might come back. So she's worrying, she's fearful. And through the process of her thought, she created the cancer, and it moved from the breast, the heart and the lymphatic system to the brain. So she focused all her energy onto, well, it might come back, and it did come back. You know, so this is how I know how powerful the mind is and how you can manifest your own cancer. You know, we're programmed through the television, check for lumps, check for lumps on your breasts, on your testicles. If you've got a cough for more than 3 weeks, you may have lung cancer. So they're constantly putting these seeds of doubt into people's minds. And again, if you've missed your mortgage payment that month and you're highly stressed and your immune system's down and you're playing on that thought, oh, I've had a cough for more than 3 weeks, you know, you can manifest your own cancer, you know, and I have kind of seen it firsthand. But obviously this lady who then got the cancer to the brain, she got a tumor to the brain, she knew how to balance the body and remove these mutant cells, and she did it very, very quickly the second time, and it made her a lot stronger. And she realized that she had, through her worry, she had created the cancer again, you know. So the mind is very, very powerful in this as well.
Oh, yeah, totally. Lots of people who I talk to who are in this field say how important the mind is. Have you ever heard of German New Medicine?
No, I haven't, no.
Because I'm a biologist, and so for me, I have to look at facts. Well, I know how important the mind is, don't get me wrong, but I also like to look at facts, and, you know, obviously as a biologist, I'm really interested in how things work within the body, you know, and to listen to what everything that you're saying, a lot of people think, oh, no, that's just hippie mumbo jumbo, but if you watch something and take a look at something like German New Medicine, it actually explains in a biological way and the biological pathways within the body that the fear takes and that the stress takes, and that abandonment as well is another thing that they say causes cancer, and a lot of time breast cancer, you know, because these emotional issues are pretty traumatic, you know, and a lot. And so they were saying in this German New Medicine, if you ask people who've got cancer within the 2 years period before they actually get it, maybe a bit longer for some, they've had something really kind of majorly traumatic happen within their lives. And then it shows you what sort of pathways that these traumas can take and whereabouts in the brain the chemicals and the whole process originates in. It's absolutely fascinating stuff for someone like me who knows that your mind does play such an important role and how much of an influence we do actually have over our bodies without even realizing. You know, pain takes the same, emotional pain takes the same pathway as physical pain takes, you know, and that's why things like depression and anxiety and stress can be so hard for people, because it is the same as physical pain, even though it's different. It's still damaging the body, it's still harming the body, it's still releasing too much adrenaline, it's still putting stress on your kidneys, you know, it's still getting your body to work overtime, and like you say, you don't absorb your nutrients very well, so you know your body's not able to function properly, the metabolic pathways aren't be able to be used in the proper way, you know, and your body has to substitute it, make, you know, do a bodge job. Your body has to bodge round the things you're missing or the things you've got too much of. And then, you know, it's a cycle. It is definitely a cycle, and it's not hippie mumbo jumbo. The more you look into this, the more you actually realize how much evidence there actually is to support a lot of what Dean's just said there.
Absolutely. I mean, not only are they kind of poisoning us, they're poisoning the minds as well through you know, the television and the media and the propaganda that's pushed out there on the masses daily, you know. I can't even watch the TV, you know, but now and again I'll catch a cancer research ad, and it's disgusting what these people are doing, because they know. They actually know what they're doing. You know, I've got, there's a lady I've been helping for the last 6 months. She's got breast cancer, and there was a tumor to the liver. The cancer's gone, completely gone. She took her nutrition, her everything very, very seriously, and she's beat it. The cancer has gone. But the oncologist still booked her in for a lumpectomy to remove her breast. And he also booked her in for a course of radiotherapy, even though the cancer had gone. And she's worried. She's fearful. She's asking, you know, Dean, can I ask them, tell them I do not want my breast off. I don't want any more treatments. Of course you can't, you know. So I've had to sit down and explain to her that this is your body. You tell them you don't want any more of their treatments. But they don't take no for an answer. So she's refused. And then she's getting letters from other oncologists saying they want meetings, and they're saying, well, you know, we need to carry out these treatments under the pretense that the cancer might come back. So this lady knows she's beat it. She's rebalanced the body, but she you know these words are penetrating her. She's fearful now. She's thinking, oh dear, is the cancer going to come back? And I have to constantly reassure her that once your body is pH balanced and you continue doing what you're doing, there's no way cancer can live in your body. And, you know, she constantly needs that reassurance, but they are actually bullying her. To a degree, they are bullying her, you know, and it's disgusting what they're doing. They know what they're doing. When you get past the nurses and up to the doctors and the oncologists, when you refuse treatments, they don't get paid. You know, they are subcontractors to these pharmaceutical companies. There's a family friend who was helping named June Clark. She had stage 3 lung cancer. And again, she took it all very seriously. She put in some real work to make the lifestyle changes and the dietary changes, cut out all the rubbish. She really worked hard at it. And we started to see reductions. But yeah, I mean, the doctor, you know, she was on chemotherapy and she realized that once she'd finished the chemotherapy, her body was starting to heal a lot faster. Because the way I see it, the chemo just suppresses the healing. It slows down all the supplements and the minerals. Once she finished, she realized that her body was healing. So she refused. They booked her in for chemotherapy. She refused. She said, no way. So basically, she had a meeting with the oncologist and he didn't feel the need to tell June that her cancer was reducing. This is very, it's big, it's massive, right? So the family have kind of piped up, well, hang on, we want to see the scan. So they've had a look and he's like, oh, yeah, oh wow, we've got reductions. So yeah, they've followed on with the conversation and June has basically said, right, I do not want any more radiotherapy or chemotherapy. He slammed his computer shut. He was raged. June actually went in that day for antibiotics because she had a blood virus due to the pharmaceutical tablet she was taking, and she was a little bit anemic. They basically said, right, we want to carry out a blood transfusion. June rung me and I said, no way, no way. Do not let them put someone else's blood into your body. No way, it's unnatural. We can deal with it through folic acid and other things. So basically, again, they tried to bully her into agreeing to this radiotherapy. And they actually started to bribe her. They said, listen, you're not having any more scans unless you sign up to the radiotherapy. So she had to sign up to the radiotherapy just to get more scans, but she had no intention of going and carrying out this treatment. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, she was admitted in because her oxygen levels were really low in her blood, and she had the virus due to antidepressant pharmaceutical tablets she was taking. They've gone in, the hospital have asked the family, can we carry out a blood transfusion? The family have outright said no, no way. So the family were there with June for 3 days. She was in good health. She looked very, very healthy. She did not look like a woman who had cancer. She was up and down the ward. She was doing her own thing. And then basically the family left to go and take a shower. And within 10 minutes of the family leaving, they carried out a blood transfusion on June. They rang up the family. They said, listen, we've done a blood transfusion. It's gone wrong. She's not reacted well. Can you please get up to the hospital? She's only got 2 hours to live. So the family went back up. I got a call. I went up to see the family in June. And we looked into it. And by the looks of it, she had been given contaminated blood. She had every symptom to suggest this. But not only that, no one had consented to it. No one had signed to any blood transfusion. So, I got home that evening and I was told that June had taken her last breath. So that the family are outraged. This lady was in pretty good health. She was beating the cancer. She was pretty, you know, I'd say probably 80% healed. And then they've just destroyed all the good work. I had an interview. I sat down with 3 of the cancer surgeons, doctors on the ward, and you know, let them know that the family are not happy You know, you have, we want to know, it's, if you're doing a blood transfusion, it's not a 10 minute thing. You need to match up the blood. You can't just put someone else's blood into someone's body. They didn't have time to do blood matches. They didn't have time. So the way we know there's something sinister here. We know that they knew that she was self-healing with natural medicines. They didn't like it. So they started to bribe her, and, you know, it's, yeah, so that's where we're at now. We've actually got a meeting with the head of the NHS next month, and I've got a feeling that they want to settle this out of court. But I've spoke with the family that they're not interested in any money. We want justice for June. You know, we feel that something sinister has gone on here, that we've holding all the records. You know, we've got to do a subject data access request now because they won't give us the records. We want the blood matches. We want all the scans. We want everything. It's a sad time for the family, but, you know, we will get justice for her.
Oh, it is. It's horrible when it doesn't work out and we have such high hopes, you know. But one of the things that I do find with cancer is that not everybody looks like they're ill. A lot of the people that I work with don't necessarily look like they're ill, you know. And some of the people some of the people I work with are using chemotherapy as well, and some of them have used it to their benefit, and some people, you know, it's up to each individual to choose what's best for themselves, you know, and look, research into their own cancer and research into what works best for them, I would say, you know. It's an individual talk, individuals. I think mistakes are made, but I do find it hard to get my head around that people are deliberately going around killing each other, you know. I think there's a total lack of education when it comes to the endocannabinoid system and when it comes to cannabis within the medical fraternities. That's what I'm looking for, isn't it? You know, but I you know, and I think that you do need to listen to your doctor as well, but also do your own research. I would always say that, you know, and find out and figure out what's best for you, you know. I know a lot of doctors and that are very interested. I actually met somebody from the bone cancer research the other day at the event in Hebden Bridge, and she's very interested in coming and learning a lot more, and she seemed a lovely woman, you know. It's about integrating and integrating the knowledge, you know, and getting these barriers right down, and the education out there, and sharing the knowledge in the right way, you know. I believe, you know. So Paul wants to say something as well. Go on, Paul.
Hello. Hello, Dean. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, Dean. Can you hear us?
I can, yes.
Yeah, Paul just wants, you know, because we have callers coming in, and Paul's quite a regular caller. He's got Crohn's, you know, and he came. We know him through the Crohn's roundtable. So he's got. This is about the third show he's come on, but he wants to ask you a few questions. Yeah, is that okay?
That's fine. Yeah.
Go on then, Paul. Dean.
Am I on? You hear me? Yeah.
Hiya, Paul. Yes, mate.
All right. Hello, Dean. I'm sure we could talk all night, but we've only got a few minutes, so let me just pick up a couple of things that you said. I disagreed with quite a lot of it, I'm afraid. Number one, I don't think that because we are trying to forward the cause of cannabis, making it legal and helping people with cancer, I don't think that means that we have to attack other organizations that have been trying to help people with cancer, like cancer research. I'm sure they have the corruption like everywhere else, but the core people that work for them are trying to help people with cancer, and you made it sound like a conspiracy. Now, let me just move on to the other thing I want to say, and then you can come back here. You also said that a woman was on antidepressants and that was the reason she had a virus. Now, can you explain that? Because I don't know any antidepressants that cause a virus. That's all I wanted to ask you, really.
Right, yeah, that's fine. I'm not a doctor, but I mean, I was told by the family that she contracted a blood virus due to the amitriptyline tablets that she was taking, and she had a low oxygen blood count.
Oh, that's
she was anemic.
That is impossible.
Well, this is, well, again, this is second-hand information, but she did have a blood a blood virus, and this is what I've been told.
Right. I just think, you know, in your position, if you're coming on here as well to speak with authority, and I know that you preempted it with that you're not a doctor, but obviously you'd probably agree that you can't just say, I'm not a doctor, but, and start diagnosing people, right? Which I'm not saying you were doing, but my point is, you did say that about the antidepressants without knowledge, and now you've said that it was secondhand information. I'm just worried about what else you said that you hadn't verified and was also second or third hand, because it's quite important that we stick to the facts, is it not?
I agree, but at the end of the day, okay, she had a blood virus. I don't know the cause. But it,
and a blood matching. You said about the blood matching, and you know, yes, it takes a long time. It doesn't take a long time at all.
Well,
there's only three blood groups.
I was told by the doctors. The doctors, the nursing staff on the ward told us that it takes a minimum of 2 hours to find a blood match. They carried out the blood transfusion within 10 minutes. It's like they waited for the family to go.
If there's one thing I've learned from a lifetime in hospital stays, don't listen to nurses on the ward, mate. They know nothing. Really?
Yeah, absolutely, but I can't see how a blood match can be found within 10 minutes.
Because there's only three blood types. That's it. What blood type are you? Okay, what blood types do we have in the store? That's the one you need. It really is that simple, honestly.
Mm.
You know, they have blood in the storage.
There is only three types, and one of them's rare, though, isn't it? But they still normally have it in stock.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of them works for all, so they usually have that.
Well,
I'm forgetting which one, so I don't want to say all the wrong ones and find myself talking rubbish.
You know, the June was in very good health before she walked into that hospital.
Oh, I mean, no doubt, and you can pick up all sorts of crap in hospitals, and that's happened to me, MRSA, all that. I mean, I'm not just saying that you're making stuff up, mate. I just wanted to be clear on a few things.
Of course.
I take issue with this attitude that we have to attack. It's almost the scientific community are some sort of conspiracy, and we are the only ones that know what's right, and that's totally wrong.
Well, you know, when I've helped surgeons with certain medicines, you know, and I've asked a number of doctors and cancer surgeons, would you take chemotherapy and would you give it to your children? And every one of them have put their heads down in shame. You know, so why should they give it to us when they wouldn't take it themselves?
Well, there is a study that's known where they took that information that goes around the internet, actually. I don't know if you saw it, but so many chemotherapists were asked, or doctors, and they all said, you know, a high percentage of them said they would not use it in their own family. Well, that was actually proved to be untrue, and it was a bit of information that was taken and blown up and spread around the world online. It turns out that when they went back and did survey people just for that, they actually said, yes, they would. Honestly, I'm not making it up. That's the fact. Because chemotherapy saves lives. Certain types of leukemia can be completely cured with chemotherapy. You can't argue with that.
You know, but
so if you tell someone who has that to go on cannabis, they may actually not be cured by the cannabis, and they may die because you told them not to take chemotherapy. I think using both is probably...
I've never told anybody not to take their treatments, ever. Right, it's down to the individual.
It seemed like the way you were coming across was like medical science is bonk.
No, not at all. Not at all.
My apologies.
But you know,
Hello, it's me again. Yeah, I think it's up to the individual to have a look. Some cancers respond really well with chemotherapy. Some don't respond as well. Some have got, you know, it's up to the individual. And I think you do see that as well, don't you, Dean, that it is up to
absolutely,
the
absolutely, absolutely. I can never sway anyone away from this is down to them. This is the whole point, empowering the person, getting them to do their research and taking their own health into their own hands.
Well, I would agree.
What I find as well really is that a lot of the time people do look on the internet for a little while and they think that they do know a lot more than what they actually do as well. So, you know, it's a funny field to be in, the field that you're in, Dean, because I'm in it as well, you know. And
what field are you in, Dean? I didn't ask that.
I'm in no field, you know. I'm not a healer. I'm not a doctor. No. I'm just a man. Trying to make a change, you know. Mm-hmm. As I said before, I was a builder. I've just been thrown into this because of my loss and my adversity. And through the suggestions I make, I've helped a lot of people to rebalance their body and remove disease. You know, and to answer your question before about cancer research, I see the people on the street who are collecting, the volunteers and whatever. They have got good intention. I can't argue with that, but this goes higher. You know, the CEOs, they know there's multiple cures, not just cannabis oil. You know, there are multiple cures.
No, I disagree completely, and I think that is dangerous, irresponsible information that you're putting out, and it's probably not verified anywhere because I can't find verification of that.
Well, I'm going off
multiple cures for cancer? Where? Prove it. Show me some evidence.
Okay, Nigella black seed oil, have you looked into that?
That stuff is complete rubbish.
Okay. Again, I disagree.
Right, prove it, though. Show me evidence. Don't just tell me the name of it. Show me evidence.
Standard report in 1992. Universities have done reports.
Hey, Dean, I'm going to take this conversation over a little bit because I think this shows I feel like it's just not going in the direction that I feel happy or comfortable with at the moment.
Really? I thought it was just debate. I'm not.
It is a debate.
It's fine.
No, it is a debate, but I just think, I just think that you can carry on a lot of this rather than just going over the same ground. You know, we can carry on a lot of this. And
it's not the same ground. I was asking him to prove something he just said. I think that's fair enough, isn't it?
Paul, please, can you finish my sentence? You don't know what I'm going to say until I finish my sentence, please. Is that okay? Thank you. All I'm saying is we can continue this. We can even do a show on this. I think it would be a good thing if you would like to. You know, one of the Dark Seat Compassion Club shows could be on looking at all the other natural things that people are saying can cure cancer and what can't cure cancer. And, Paul, you're very welcome to do that. You know, and Dean, you know,
yeah.
And I actually do agree with a lot of what you're saying, Paul. You know, people, because when I say this field, the responsibility of being a caregiver, you know, there's a lot of people out there taking on the responsibility of being a caregiver, you know, and not necessarily, I'm not saying this is you, Paul, you know, a lot of people are going into this, that the whole doctors are all in it together. I know doctors who have gone through chemotherapy themselves, you know, and some of them probably wouldn't want to go through it, that some of them would like maybe choose other options, you know.
Well, let's be clear, I mean, no one would like to go through chemotherapy.
Please, you know. Yeah, please, because I don't like being interrupted. You know, a lot of people, you know, have to take their own, have to do whatever they want to do, what suits them. You know, look into what, you know, what I'm saying is doctors, I lost my thread a bit there, but doctors, you know, will go through chemotherapy. Some of them will, some of them won't. You know, each one's an individual. You can't say what a whole fraternity would do and wouldn't do. We can't speak for any of them. You know, I personally do know doctors that have gone through it, and there's probably some that haven't, you know, each to their own. But this field of a caregiving is a massive responsibility, an actually massive responsibility to be taken on, you know. And that's why I always do encourage people to look into their own specific illness, their own specific treatments for that specific illness, and see what suits them as well. See what looks into what suits you, what feels right. Go with people that have had good results. Look at people who have had good results. Talk to people who have gone through what you've gone through, who have survived. See how they've done it. And the mental side of it was something that was really very important as well. You know, I really do encourage that, because I'm not talking about anybody in particular. A lot of people think they are a doctor these days. I'm not saying you, Dean, at all, but I do, you know, a lot of people that are getting into this, and I've been hearing lots of terrible stories about other people that have been that are caregivers, that have been, some of the advice that they've been giving, I find absolutely flabbergasting, you know? And that's why it is so important to research. Doctors have been working for a long time. They can diagnose and they can tell you things, but they don't always get it right. They do get it right a lot of the time. You know, you've got to have a sensible approach to this. And you can only ever advise people. You can only say, well, I've heard this is good, or I've heard this can work for you. And, you know, and then it's up to that individual to think about it. And it's always good to develop a good relationship with your doctor. This is very important, I think, especially if you do want the doctors to learn, you know, and you want to share and grow to, you know, knowledge to be shared. So you talk to your doctor about what you're going through. You talk to your doctor about the treatment that you're taking. You talk to your doctor about the things that you want to try and that you don't want to try. If you're unsure about something or you're unsure about your treatment, then you talk to your doctor about it. You'd be honest with your doctor about how things are making you feel, whether things are making you feel sick. Because a lot of people actually go through chemotherapy and don't want to actually tell the doctor that it's not feeling very good for them, or this is happening, or that's happening, or any treatment. Unless you're telling the people what's happening, they're not going to know either. So it's very important that it's not you being moany, it's not you complaining, it's you sharing your knowledge. And that's how we all learn, and we all need to learn together through things like this. Yeah, we do know that, you know, and a lot of doctors, like I said, a lot of doctors work, Paul saying that about the chemotherapy, a lot of doctors will, they have developed it, a lot of doctors have spent a lot of time. You know, one of the major problems that the doctors have is that they are not allowed to prescribe cannabis. They're not allowed to prescribe a lot of things that we would like them to be able to prescribe, you know, and that's one of the reasons I work so hard with the UPA, you know, is to change the law for cannabis, is to get it changed from Schedule 1 into a schedule where doctors can prescribe it, where doctors can prescribe it freely for adults and also for children. Children act extremely well, better than adults do cannabis as a medicine, you know. You can treat three children for one adult, you know, so this is, it's amazing really what cannabis can actually do, you know. So it is something that we are moving, and I do think more people are coming over and wanting to talk to people about cannabis and what sort of effects it's having on their body. And that's why we do things like the Cannabis Compassion Club show. We do this show so that people can hear about the benefits of cannabis. It's a non-intrusive way of treating cannabis cancer. I get them words mixed up sometimes, and it's a way forward, really, you know. Definitely worth looking into. and they are, like I said, I was talking to someone from one of the cancer researchers at the Hebden Bridge event, and it was great to have her there, and she was very enthusiastic. But there's still all that stigma around cannabis, and this is one of the things that, like with the work with the UPA and the Compassion Club and the Normal Women's Alliance and all these other great organisations, and that's what we're all working towards, is to spread this knowledge, is to spread this information, is to get people clued up, is to show doctors and nurses about the endocannabinoid system. I've got, you know, I've had contact with other nurses and other doctors since doing this UPA work, and also since doing them Dark City work. You know, I'm not one of these people that does subscribe to them and us. I do think there's a lot of corruption on them, lots of different levels, on the higher levels. I'm not naive to that, you know, but I'm not one of these people that does think that either, that everyone's, you know, that it's them and us, you know. I really do. And but there again, I do feel like we're at war as well a bit, so there's a lot to it. Do you want to say anything, Dean? Because we haven't got very long left. We've only got like 8 minutes. So is there anything that you want to get out there a bit more?
I am meeting more and more people who are approaching me now. And they have beat cancer without cannabis oil. They've beat it with their food, with nigella black seed oil, apricot kernels, and the right salts and minerals. And they're beating it. They're starving the cancer. They're cutting out refined sugars. They're cutting out the starch and they're cutting out the iron, and they've done this off their own back because they can't. They've been through the chemo before. The cancer came back, and both people have said to me, "I couldn't do it again. I couldn't do it again." So they went into the scriptures. They went into their own research, they starved the cancer, pH balanced the body, and the cancer went. You know, so there is multiple cures out there. You know, it's rebalancing the body.
What would you say their mental health was like when, as well, compared to others that don't make it through necessarily? Because I've heard lots of stories about people who have beaten cancer as well, and met lots of people in Facebook groups from nutrition and other things, like what, using lots of different methods, like you say. And there's also, you know, so it is definitely worth adjusting, I think, diet. But what would you say, like, their mental health is like? Would you say, because you did say that's got a lot to do with it?
Well, yeah, positivity. Absolutely. I mean, when you're diagnosed with cancer, it's very, very traumatic, you know. It's a shock to the system. And you know, these two guys, they was fearful. There was like, no way am I having chemotherapy again. So that forced them into into looking into alternative treatments and alternative therapies, you know. So... yeah, I think that sparked the fire and the fight in their soul, if you like. You know, it just spurred them on that they couldn't go through that treatment again, and let's look to another way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. There is a lot of people out there like that. I've come into contact with them as well. You know, there's a lot of people that do all sorts, really, isn't there? You know, so it is about looking at what, like I keep coming back to, what works for each individual, really. Can you mute when you're not talking? Thank you, because all I'm getting is a lot of feedback, and we haven't got very much of time left anyway of the show. I'm stumbling a little bit but it's been a good show this evening. I'd like to thank everyone for being here with us, Bob in Manchester, Sean, and also Paul and Dean, obviously, are the major guest, and Robo for producing. But you know, I'd also like to say there's quite a few things going on in the kind of world, right, with people going out and about and stuff. And if, like, I really do encourage people to get out and about and to you know, get out onto the street, spread the word, let people know what you do, to talk up as patients, what's helped you, what doesn't help you, what works well for you. And I do think it's about sharing that knowledge and seeing what does work for you. And I do know that diet and supplements and things like that do help people dramatically. I've actually seen the massive difference that it does make in people's health and people's lives. Even arthritic pain and things like that can be a lot changed from diet and detoxing from heavy metals and things like that. You know, it is actually amazing what symptoms can occur within the body from mineral imbalances. So it is important to do that, and a lot of evidence is coming forward, a lot of scientific studies about the importance of a lot of what Dean was saying, you know, with nutrients, and also obviously with cannabis, as we know very well, with the cannabis, and a lot of the different cancers react differently to different, you know, to different strains as well, which is also a really interesting topic. So yeah, I think thank you very much, Dean. You've been a really, really good guest. Is there any way that people can get in contact with you or anything like that if they want to ask you any more questions, or for Paul as well, because he probably wants to ask you a few more questions? Can you tell them how to get in contact with you in that, please?
Oh yeah, well yeah, thank you for having me on. It's been great, yeah, having a chat. But yeah, I mean, yeah, people just get me through Facebook, really, Dean Oliver, and yeah, it's the best place to get me, really.
Can I just ask you something quickly? Do you do anything in your local communities? Do you meet up and that, or do your patients meet up and stuff? Not your patients, but do you know what I mean? The people you work with. I just need to change my language a bit here, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we've got the Truth Juice. A friend of mine does the Truth Juice in Birmingham, and you know, I've not been along myself, but people are kind of approaching me and saying, listen, I've kind of become conscious, I've woke up, I've got no interest, no common, you know, I've got nothing in common with my old friends anymore. You know, can you hook me up with some people who are like-minded? So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think something needs to be done down this end, really. But yeah, there is the Truth Juices and various other little meetups. But I kind of do things on my own, if you like. I don't get involved with any groups because that's where the infiltration is. That's where the egos are. That's where the know-it-alls are. So I kind of just do things from where I am, and just, you know, I'm actively out there speaking to people every day and spreading awareness. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, I'll sit and have a conversation with you, you know, about cannabis and you know, how to rebalance the body. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it's good to get out in the community. And I like being part of these organisations myself because, you know, yeah, there are some egos in them and some of them are harder to get involved with than others. I found the UPA really easy to get involved with. You know, really lovely group of people, not any ego there really. So that it's, you know, and Normal Women's Alliance, amazing, beautiful, accepting women, you know. And it's so good, you know, when you're doing this kind of work or, you know, to share knowledge, you know, so that you aren't making silly mistakes and things, you know, so that we can all learn together, you know, and find out what works for people and the best way to push this forward so that it is legal, so that people have got access to it, so people don't have to be sneaking around and getting cannabis oil in car parks, taking outrageous doses and not having a clue what's going on, really. So we really do need to push for cannabis to be made available for all, everyone that needs it, really. I really do think that working together to push for that and to let our governments know that we know that it's good for us and we want to carry on using it, and we are using it, so we're going to carry on using it. There's something like there's something like 1 million medical users in the UK, more like 10 million, I would say. I think it'd be amazing, really, if everyone did have, who could do with it, had access to cannabis. And really, that day is really, really needed, so that this field is no longer available in such a way, really, I suppose, just so that we can share our knowledge freely. That's what I mean, you know, get the information out there, get the facts out there, the proper facts out there, research things properly, look for viable sources, and talk to as many people as you can as well, and find out what's right for you. We're all individuals and we all do things differently. So good night, and thank you very much for tuning in, and I'll see you all next week on the Dark City Compassion Club show. Thank you.
An idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.